Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Preds taking on the Colorado Avalanche of round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And to help us talk more about that, as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Darren McFarland from Darren Donica Chase to the program. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning, gents. Hope you had a good weekend.
We had a great weekend. Hope you did as well. No shortage of stuff going on around here. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that.
No. No, it's a good time of year. Lots to talk about.
A whole lot to talk about. So, Darren, what do you make of the matchup now that it's official? You're the Preds. You have a 4-0 lead against Arizona, and all of a sudden you lose 5-4 in regulation. So instead of going to Calgary, you'll be going to Colorado in the first round. What do you make of the matchup as we sit here today before game one between the Preds and the Avalanche?
I don't know. I mean, obviously Friday night was, I don't. They've never blown a four goal. Just think about that. They've never blown a four goal lead, ever in their franchise history, and they did it against the worst team in hockey, and they had a chance to be the answer to the trivia question: who was the last team to play the Coyotes in Gila River Arena, and oh, by the way, it could have been a win. They were also the first team 19 years ago. They were the first game, and they beat the Coyotes. Wouldn't that have been a cool story to beat them, to open up the arena, and to beat them to close the arena? But they got up 4-0, and it looked like this is why you love hockey, right? You love hockey, and then at times you pull your hair out with hockey, because Thursday night, early on in the game against Colorado, I was like, this is probably going to be a long night. This just doesn't feel good. And the next thing you know, the Predators skate away with a 5-4 shootout victory. And it's like, oh, okay. And then you see the first 7 minutes of Friday night, and you're like, Arizona. Yep, got the trunks packed. They got the clubs in the back of the car. They're ready to hit to the offseason. And five unanswered goals, and they win 5-4, and it's like, what just happened? So, Colorado, Calgary, I mean, I don't know if anybody really feel better one way or the other? I mean, honestly, they're going to be long shots no matter who they were playing, right? I mean, long shots. No one was going to pick them to win a series, whether it was Colorado or Calgary. So I don't know if there's a difference. I mean, Calgary would have been a bloodbath. It would have been probably a lot of fun. Can they pull off the upset? Yeah, I mean, anything can happen. Does it feel good today? No, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like their chances are great. In fact, I'll just go on and say it. If Colorado loses this series, their coach is probably getting fired. I don't know if you agree with that, Robbie, or not, but he's probably going to get fired if they lose this series. So it's a big hill to climb. You know, the UC Soros, I mean, David Rittich, while they got the win on Thursday, it's still not UC. Look, whatever you want to say, Connor Ingram, David Rittich, it's not UC Soros. So, I don't know. This is going to be a hard series to imagine them actually pulling off an epic upset. But with that being said, how many times have we seen it in hockey? So I certainly don't ever just toss it to the side and say no way, no how.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth watching. Any one of these games in series, for sure. And Darren, we saw Rittich with this totally unexpected inspirational win in Colorado. And then we see Connor Ingram with this totally unexpected blown game, like, you know, historic blown game that changes the matchup. Do you think that what we saw Thursday and Friday mean, assuming UC Soros isn't available, that Rittich is the guy?
I believe so. And Joe, I'm not sure anything could have really changed my mind unless literally Connor Ingram would have said, But here's the thing. If they had jumped out to a 4-0 lead and the way Arizona was playing early, that was the amazing part. They looked like they had no interest in being there. And then all of a sudden, they flipped the switch and everything changed. But if they would have looked that way the whole rest of the way, I don't know how impressive. I don't know if we would have given Connor Ingram a lot of credit, if this makes any sense. It would have been like, oh, yeah, well, he shut out a team that was the worst team in hockey and had no interest in playing the final game of the regular season. You know what I mean? So I'm not even sure we would have given him full credit, full marks. Maybe some people would have. Maybe that would have switched for them. Maybe that would have them said, hey, if Saros isn't available, you got to give Connor Ingram a chance to start. Maybe so. It wasn't changing for me. David Rittich's been there all year at this level, and I just think he was going to get first crack at it. I think his leash is going to be short no matter what, because you can't – I mean, the bottom line, against Colorado, I mean, you don't have time to just, like, let it, you know, marinate and, like, yeah, we'll wait till, like, game three or four. It's like, no. No, you can't. It's going to be a short leash. So every game is going to be a short leash, but I do believe – it'll be Rittich, and I've felt it was going to be Rittich if Saros wasn't available the whole time. I don't think, unless Connor Ingram just would have been mind-blowing good on Friday night, I would have been sitting here maybe with you guys going, okay, probably Connor Ingram is you know, he's got me thinking maybe I've switched, you know, but I don't. It was going to take something crazy for me to say Connor Ingram, so I think yes, I think David Rittich will be tomorrow night's starter if Saros is not available.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators radio network. So, Darren, we were talking about this earlier, and there are really two things to me, if I'm the Predators, that I'm interested in this series in terms of hanging around. One of them is the power play. I don't know how you couldn't feel good about the Preds' power play. They've been a top-10 power play all season long. And the other thing is this, which I keep going back to when it comes to Colorado. Darcy Kuemper has an .887 save percentage in his last seven starts. Is that the weakness of the Avalanche team? And if so, do you feel like this Predators team could be equipped to exploit that in this series?
Well, it's certainly not good. I mean, that's you look at that and you're like, oh, okay, well, that's not great. But that we're also picking a spot, right? A rare bad spot for Colorado this season. Yep. They were pretty much lights out. They got off to a slow start, and then they just kicked it in. They didn't kick it into another gear. They just hit the turbo button, and away they went. And they were a rocket ship and just took off. They were, like, on the outside looking in, and the next you blinked, you went to the bathroom, you got your popcorn, and they were in first place. And it was like, what just happened? I just made popcorn and went to the bathroom, and Colorado's in first. So, I mean, overall, it's pretty darn good this season. I mean, what was his save? His save percentage was up over .920. So,
yeah,
five shutouts. I mean, his record was fantastic, and I get it.
Darren, I'm grasping at straws here to try to see how they could win the series.
I know, but I mean, look, I'm trying to be real. You're picking a seven games, the worst seven game stretch that Colorado had all year. So, I mean, could it continue? Yeah, okay, I'll jump on board with you, Robbie. It could continue, and maybe it does. But, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to get on here and trash Darcy Kuemper, who had a .921 save percentage and five shutouts and won 37 games, right? Like, yeah, this guy overrated. I mean, and maybe he is. I mean, maybe – but when you look at that team, their strengths – maybe he is the weakness, you know, because they've got a whole lot of strengths. But it's going to be tough. But look, this year, when these two teams played each other and in weird circumstances, Colorado here at the end that seemed like they weren't interested much, the crazy COVID game in Nashville, right, that the Predators won. I mean, there were some crazy games. So, look, I hope it's a really, really fun series. But, you know, the Predators didn't play good down the stretch either. So, look, if they're on Colorado radio right now, they're sitting there talking about, you know, the Predators down the stretch too. It wasn't good enough. I mean, it's not good enough to beat a team like Colorado. So we'll see. That's why they play them. And like I said, we've seen epic upsets before that nobody saw coming. So why not start another one now?
Well, Darren, I'd like to offer you a seat on a different bandwagon of mine that I think is not all that occupied right now, but it's the bandwagon of still outrage at the Titans over trading A.J. Brown days later, even after all the excuses and draft picks that want to make people be optimistic. Would you like to join me?
Oh, boy. Yeah, Joe's going to get mad at me. Yeah, no. I'm
you liked it. You liked
no,
it, Darren.
No, I did not like it. No. I did not like it. But – with that being said, I would not have paid A.J. Brown $25 million a year. That's just me. I mean, you don't have skins on the wall. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just all. That's just straight projection. I mean, how many people get a 12 times your salary raise when you haven't even done it yet? I mean, that's essentially what he got from Philadelphia. I understand the move, but I also said on Friday, Joe, and I don't know if you guys agree with this or not, but I said this is also a GM-defining move for John Robinson. Like 2 years from now, if A.J. Brown has been unbelievable in Philadelphia, right? Lights out, 100 catches, 1,400 yards, and double-digit touchdowns, and this team is, you know, just flopping around like a fish out of water, it's probably going to bite John Robinson. Like I said, I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but when you make that move, while I agree with not paying him $25 million a year, and if you feel like that was the only way the deal was going to get done, I understand the move. I also understand that there's a lot of people that will not forgive you for that move, especially if things go south here and he takes off in Philadelphia. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, no, look, I think I don't think that that's saying too much. I don't think that's being overly dramatic. I think absolutely this move is going to be good or bad, one of the big moves of his career. And yeah, if A.J. Brown goes on to – see, my thing is it's his health. I mean, to me, you're right. He doesn't have huge productive numbers. We also just saw him last year flat out just win games at Indy against San Francisco. We've seen that a lot. I think he is headed toward greatness if he's healthy, and that's a big key. You know, and if he's not, then I think you could look at this and still say that's the big part of the hesitation too for the Titans, and it's somewhat understandable. But, no, I'm with you. I mean, this is going to be – I mean, A.J. Brown weekly is going to be reminded around here what he's doing, good or bad.
Yes, it'll be heavily scrutinized, right? We will track it every week. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast when you make a move like that. We will be tracking it every single week. Yeah, it will not go away. That's for sure. And so, you know, to me, there's a lot of pressure for John Robinson, you know, and if A.J. Brown continues with kind of, you know, okay stats and missing games here and there, then, you know, John Robinson's going to look pretty smart, won't he? And it'll elevate his status. But if things go the other way, boy, that group that is ticked today will be about four times louder, you know, if A.J. Brown takes off and this team isn't doing well, or Burks is – and it's not fair to Burks, right, too? He's going to be compared to him, and that's not fair to a kid – coming out of college and be like, hey, we need you to be like A.J. Brown right away. Like, that's not fair to him, but that's going to be expectations for a lot of fans.
Yep, no question about that. Darren McFarland from Darren Donica Chase, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. You can catch him from 10 to 2 every day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, guys, enjoyed it as always.
Absolutely. Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you think of the matchup against Colorado? What percentage chance do you give the Predators to win this series against the Avalanche? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rexroad with his Don't Stress Me Out mug flashing up on the screen if you're streaming live.
No, that's Don't Stress Me Out. That's my grandma's cup for her cat, her three-legged cat, Bella.
There you go.
We love Bella, the three-legged cat.
Why wouldn't you?
Yes. Sometimes she bites.
If you want... That's not good. If you want to celebrate Mother's Day in style, I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Michael Bublé coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, August 16th, and qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 for a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Michael Bublé coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, August 16th, and be qualified to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we heard Darren's kind of assessment there in the last segment. Obviously, most people are picking the Colorado Avalanche to not only win this series. I've seen a lot of people say the Preds are going to get swept. Seen a lot of people picking Colorado in five in this series as well. Probably five is the most common one I've seen of Avalanche in five, but there's been kind of some all over the map. Like you said at The Athletic, maybe one person has picked the Predators to win this series. You're probably not going to find a whole lot more than that in terms of nationally people picking the Predators to win. And spoiler alert, I'm not going to pick the Predators to win this series either. I've got Avalanche winning in six. I've got Colorado winning this series in six. I think the Predators are going to be able to score in this series. I think they'll win a couple of games, but I've got Avalanche winning the series in six games. I just look at this matchup, and there's so much top-end talent on Colorado, but they're deep too. I mean, you've got Kadri. You've got Rantanen, obviously, McKinnon. You've got Landeskog. You've got Nichushkin. I mean, you've got Burakovsky. You got all these different guys that are really, really good at the forward position. But I said this about the Calgary-Colorado matchup too. Really, the thing that separates it for me is the defensemen that they have that can take over the game. Obviously, Cale Makar, but you got Devon Taves back there. You got Sammy Girard back there. Byram's back there. I mean, they've got a lot of guys that are dynamic on the back end, and that's going to be a big challenge for the Predators to try to contain those guys.
Big challenge. Give me, if we're doing predictions right now, give me Avs in five. That was my official entry in the Athletic staff poll, which put me in the that was the most picked one, 47.9%, 39.6% sweep, 8.3% Avs in six, 2.1% Avs in seven, which I think is probably one person, and 2.1% Preds in six. I badly need to find out who picked Preds in six. One, I mean, I think I need to like Slack our hockey Slack or find out from Bing. And one, I need to make fun of that person. Two, if the Preds do win this series, then we need to go back. We need to have that person on the show to give them a big round of applause. Correct. Because that's a heck of a pick right there. But listen, like Darren said, and I know there's going to be people who hate hearing this and are going to immediately say, I don't want to hear this at all, blah, blah, blah. But it is the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yep. And I would never, ever pretend to know for sure what's going to happen in a series. I know for sure sometimes in NBA playoff series what's going to happen. I know for sure sometimes in singular football games what's going to happen. A Stanley Cup playoff series, never. Never.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes a total crapshoot. And I think some people love that about the playoffs. Some people don't like that about the Stanley Cup playoffs. But certainly the odds are stacked against the Predators here. Now, I will say, they did beat Colorado 3 out of 4 times this year. And I'm not a big transitive property guy in terms of regular season and success and all that stuff. So I don't know at the end of the day what that means, especially if UC Saros, who was in goal for 2 of those 3 wins, is not playing. So there's that part of it too. But I do think the Predators at least have some level of confidence there, knowing that they can, in fact, beat these guys because they've done it 3 times this year.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think there's any like intimidation or whatever, like, oh, they're so skilled. Can't hang with them. But I'm with you. I don't think the regular season necessarily translates. I think that the Preds' physicality is a good counter to what the Avs do. How will that play out in the playoffs? You could look at it and say in the playoffs where you can actually do a little bit more physically and maybe not go to the box, maybe it's even more of an advantage for the Preds. You could look at it that way. But there are serious matchup issues here. They are a matchup issue. I think they're going to win it all. And I agree with you guys that Jared Bednar is gone if they don't win it all.
Well, I don't know if they have to win it all for him to not be gone. Or
if they don't make a run, how about
that? If they don't make a run, I would say that he's in serious trouble. I would say at some point the regular season success isn't good enough anymore. And I think Colorado has reached that point. And when we talked about this earlier, it is kind of amazing to think about. It was only 4 years ago when it was Preds and Avalanche in round one, and the Preds were the number one seed, and Colorado was kind of the up-and-coming team, and that seems like forever ago. It was only 4 years ago, Rex Road. I was thinking about that yesterday as I was looking ahead to the matchup. I was like, wow, that was only 4 years ago. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, of course, early in that season, a trade that got Sam Girard there and got Kyle Turris to the Preds. Probably one of those things that started those teams on different paths over the next few years. So, Sam Girard's a nice player, very good player. And of course, we know how Kyle Turris worked out. So, speaking of that, because I think this is going to be discussed probably in some areas way more than others, do you think there are any jobs on the line with the Nashville Predators relative to the outcome of this series?
No. You mean like management-wise and coaching?
Yeah, management and coaching.
No, absolutely not.
Well, I agree. I agree. Do you think that this will be discussed ad nauseum this week?
Maybe by some Predators fans, but I mean, the thing I go back to is they weren't picked to make the playoffs before the season by most people. They've made the playoffs. And quite frankly, whether you buy into this or not, now they have a built-in excuse. If Saros doesn't play, they're just going to say, well, we didn't have our goaltender in the playoffs. What do you want us to do? Like, there's a built-in excuse there too. But no, I don't think their job should be in jeopardy anyway. Like, to me, I had them seventh in the Central. So they've overachieved pretty dramatically to me this year.
Right. And that's the whole thing. But I don't disagree with you, but that's the rub there, is sort of like, oh, now it's just going to be this excuse and they get, you know, just blown out of the playoffs. I think the big thing that I have a problem with is the Hines aspect of it. I still think the overall trajectory, David Poile, all that stuff, I think no one should have a lifetime appointment to be a professional team's GM. Okay. Sure. So I still think that's worth discussing. If things go bad, if they don't sign Forsberg, okay?
Sure.
That's its own separate thing. And it was talked about a lot last year, and I agree, they overachieved this year. John Hines, to me, there should be no discussion of his job. I don't understand it at all. I think it's just ridiculous. It's amazing. Like, how often could you have a situation where, like, there are media in a town talking about a coach's job, and then there's also media in a town talking about how he should be up for the Jack Adams.
Yeah.
And I understand. And I'm referring to Chris Mason. Well, shoot, I'm referring to Jared and Chris Mason, both of whom work here. Okay. And I understand that, like, Chris Mason, you know, works for the team, played for the team, all that stuff. And I don't necessarily think it's that impressive on that side. I'm not that extreme, but I'm definitely not with any thought that John Hines should be in any sort of trouble. No. I think he's.
But he's not going to be.
He's not going to be. But also, like, I think it's just wasted filling of airspace.
Yeah. What do you make of the idea that I threw out there of the Darcy Kuemper part of this? Like, if you're the Preds, he's got an .887 save percentage in his last seven games. Now, to Darren's point, he is at .921 overall in the year. But do you view that as an area of weakness that the Predators could potentially expose?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's your hope. I mean, you've gotten to him before. He's not playing his best right now. Is there some little minor injury or something? Who knows? But that's the hope of everyone in terms of the Avs coming up short again. And I am, frankly, a little bit surprised that they didn't try to do something else to address it. To Darren's point, he had very good numbers this year. But I just don't look at him as an elite. Like, this team, I picked him to win with good goaltending. You can win it if you're a good enough team without having a Vezina winner in goal.
Sure.
And that's what I think that's what they'll do. But he is getting to him. That's absolutely your best bet. I mean, you've got to score a lot of goals nightly to have a chance in this series.
Well, and I will say this, and we'll kind of wrap up the press discussion on this. I call it the Philip Grubauer syndrome. I think it's easy for numbers to get inflated a little bit when you play for the Colorado Avalanche. Philip Grubauer, .922 save percentage last year, got some Vezina trophy votes. And this year in Seattle, he's at .889 and a 3.16 goals against average. I think sometimes when you play for a team that's got the puck the whole game, that can kind of change things up a little bit. So we'll see what happens on that front with the Predators. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Preds on the table. Titans on the table as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. There's a new way to hear us on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 1025 The Game. You can check us out on 106.3 from downtown Nashville to Spring Hill on I-65 and to Murfreesboro on I-24. You now have two choices to hear our great sports programming and the Nashville Predators as well. Check us out on 106.3 and save it as a preset. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. George texting in says, I have the Avs in six, but speaking of whether regular season performances are good enough, this Avs team reminds me a lot of the Capitals of a decade ago. Loaded, but couldn't win their way out of a wet paper bag at playoff time. I love / hate this time of year. This coming from George on the text line.
Until they did, of course. Another example of a team that was said to be, they're just not going to figure it out this time. And they finally won it and still had the greatest celebration of a championship in sports history.
They did. Now, they kind of won it. Like, they were really good for a long time. Like, yes. From basically 06 yes. to 12 to 13, and they could never do it. And then basically with a different team, they won it in 18. But you still had Ovechkin. Like, you still had Holtby. You still had a lot of these same guys. But to your point, yes. Like, eventually – and people used to say the same thing about the Lightning in terms of – like the talent that they put together, are they ever going to win it? More often than not, if you stick with that talent, eventually you're going to break through when you're the most talented team. Tampa Bay's done it the last 2 years. I think they're going to do it again this year and win their third consecutive Stanley Cup, but we'll see on that front. A lot of people apparently love the Toronto Maple Leafs in that series. But
there's another example.
Yeah, how about that one? So Colorado, I think at some point they're going to break through, and maybe this is the year that they do it. But if you're the Predators, I said this earlier, I'm not picking the Preds to win, but I do buy into the fact that the longer this series goes, the more it favors the Predators. Number one, I think they're the more physical team. And number two, I just don't think they've got a whole lot of pressure. Like, I don't think there's much pressure at all on the Predators heading into this series. And the deeper it goes, the more that pressure starts to get cranked up on Colorado.
Psychologically, yeah, it's a great situation for the Preds. Now, you'd much rather have the edge, you know, physically going into a series. But yeah, the Preds, basically no one expects them to even be competitive in this series. Few people do outside of Nashville. Again, I need to find out, was it Vingan? I don't think so. Vingan keeps putting out these gifs of like people falling over themselves and stuff to represent what the series will be. I don't think he's the one who picked the Preds to beat the Avs. I need to find out who it was. But for the most part, and they're going to talk it up, and they should. No one expects them to even have a chance. So you come out and you start hitting people in the first period tomorrow night, and all of a sudden you're in a tight, pressure-packed playoff game. That psychology is in your favor.
It is. Donovan from Wisconsin says, Toronto is going to lose in seven to Tampa Bay. I got Tampa Bay winning in five.
Yeah, give me the Lightning in four. But, hey, I like your optimism for the Leafs.
And there's a lot of people picking the Leafs. I guess the same thought there is they've got a lot of talent. Maybe they break through. I think Tampa Bay has got more talent. That's just me. We'll see.
Yeah, look, the Leafs are – I don't know, man. They to me, are the example of a team that just isn't constructed to do it now. You know, like the Lightning were built to win it, and they blew it against Columbus a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
And the Leafs are not built to win it.
The Lightning had the best goalie in the world. That's
right.
It's kind of, you know, yes, they've got Stamkos and they've got Kucherov and Hedman and all these guys. But the big difference between the Lightning and everybody else that has those talented players is their goalie. Like, the Lightning had the best goaltender in the world. That's the difference.
They've basically got it all.
Yes,
but I'm still picking the Avs to win it.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, Adam in Portland says he's trying to pay you a compliment here on the text line, saying that looks like Rexroad's losing some weight out there. Rexroad, you've been working out?
Well, he says, is Joe losing weight? I think I'm seeing a jawline of that dude that wasn't there before. It must be all the stress of Tannehill possibly getting unseated, which is pretty funny. And then I put all caps, what are you trying to say, Adam? And he said, bro, I'm trying to pay you a compliment. You sound like my wife. So you're trying to say I'm fat? Are you trying to say, Adam? Huh? trying to say I'm fat? Well, the thing is, you know, it's typical, like, weather gets warmer, you do more things. I've been trying to be a little healthier. Probably doesn't, and also I shave, so maybe that's why you see my jawline.
Yeah, now he can see the snatched jawline. That's what it is, Joe.
It's not because you're stressed out over Tannehill losing his job now that they've drafted Malik Willis.
Maybe that is it. But on the trying to be healthy front, I think yesterday is my grandma's country ribs, my mom's cheesy potatoes, my grandma's apple pie, my Uncle Donnie's pasta salad, baked beans, some beer, some wine. You know, I think basically I'm starting to go the other way. So I should enjoy this and take the compliment. Thank you, Adam.
Just nullified it all yesterday. It's good stuff. I like it. We've talked about the selection of Malik Willis by the Titans in this draft. It's interesting to me. Like, I'm looking around at some of the reaction to it. We've already had somebody compare him to maybe like Steve McNair earlier on the show, which we'll wait and see and hold off on that. But physically, the tools, he can run the ball really well. He's a good playmaker. He's got great athleticism, and he's got a huge arm. You can work with those things. Now, that none of those things guarantees that he's going to be a great NFL player. And Joe, to your point, the draft kind of speaks for itself on how most teams view the quarterbacks. You had Kenny Pickett in the first round, and then it was a landslide after that in terms of Desmond Ridder going to Atlanta, Malik Willis going to the Titans. I mean, Sam Howell got drafted in the fifth round. You know, Bailey Zappi got drafted before Sam Howell did. It's pretty unbelievable that that happened that way, but I get it. There's a lot of excitement from Titans fans on the Malik Willis front and what this could mean as they move forward here.
Yeah, I mean, like the McNair comparisons. I mean, look, we all do comparisons. I'm just as guilty as anyone, so so I get it. But like McNair was an elite prospect who went at the top of the first round of a draft, you know? And yeah, needed time and all that. Like, again, most quarterbacks should get that time. This is not that. So I'd be careful on that comparison. There are certainly have been quarterbacks recently who have gone in that range who have worked out. One big, you know, two that come to mind, third rounder Russell Wilson, fourth rounder Kirk Cousins, two rivals in college. You know, that it's interesting. The difference with both those guys is, like, in college, both of them were fantastic pro style reading defense, kind of ready for the NFL quarterbacks who weren't perceived as maybe having all the traits, right? Yep. Wilson too short, Cousins not very athletic, not a big arm. I mean, both of them were kind of picked at with their traits, but they were pro style, ready to come in there and play. You know, NFL football against NFL defenses. Both of their offenses were very much NFL offenses, and this is completely different. It's potentially special characteristics that neither of those guys have. But again, you could make the most incredible highlight tape of Malik Willis. You could make the most awful highlight tape of Malik Willis. The great thing for the Titans is, you know, they're going to have this year to try to develop them, and if those traits can be brought to the forefront, and I do believe if you can figure out how your offense would best fit those traits, you could have something down the road. But remember, quarterbacks going high in the draft usually don't work out.
Coming up next, we'll take your thoughts on the Titans draft as a whole. What grade do you give John Robinson and how he handled the draft this year? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezebeck here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, Joe, did you see Ben Joyce yesterday of Tennessee baseball throw apparently 105.5 miles an hour, second fastest recorded pitch in the history of baseball?
What in the world? I did. And what I didn't see was what was the fastest and who threw that? Do we know this?
I've never
heard of 105 and a half miles an hour.
I haven't either.
I mean, he's been throwing 103, which is crazy, and is right near the top of what I honestly, I don't know. I can't recall being aware of 104.
I've got your answer.
Okay.
It's Aroldis Chapman. 105.8, which makes sense because he can absolutely throw smoke. But
yeah, I didn't know that though. Yeah, he throws absolute gasoline, but I did not know 105.8. My goodness. But
enjoy bringing it yesterday.
Insane. They're talking about him too, like that he could be a starter, which to me, it's like if you have that kind of, you got a fastball like that and then a good changeup to go with it, like you're the definition of a back end bullpen guy, especially in today's game. But I don't know, man. Whatever he is, what a weapon. Jeez. They had to really fight. But real quick on them, I know we can talk about this. We have so many things going on, but how about, what did you think of the whole Auburn with a bat and Vitello throws the bat back at him and all this stuff?
It was awesome. Well, you can't have the bat flying around towards the dugout. So I think that's what Tony Vitello's point was after the game. But look, I will say this is the most entertaining college baseball team I think I've ever watched, both on the field, but also like the shenanigans that goes on with them too. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, they are. It is so much like with everything that happens with him and his team, it is like it's either the greatest thing or they are the worst thing to so many people. It's pretty wild.
Joe,
I'm here for all of it.
Some breaking news. Speaking of Tennessee, on the former Tennessee quarterback front, Jarrett Garantano has signed an undrafted free agent deal with the Arizona Cardinals. Jarrett Garantano signing an undrafted free agent deal with the Arizona Cardinals.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him. Good luck, man. I don't even know. I honestly don't know the QB room there. Do you know off the top of your head?
No, I don't.
I know got, like Kyler Murray is wearing Cardinals gear again.
Yes.
But I think what Drew Stanton was there. Guy I covered in college 8,000 years ago. Hey, good luck to JG. Absolutely.
Let's see here. Is Stanton still there? No, this is from like 2 years ago. Never mind. I'll figure this out at some point.
All right. Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get it together by Wednesday.
So I'll figure it out. As you sit here today and look at the whole picture of the draft and not just the draft, but everything that's transpired with the draft this year for the Titans, how are you, Joe Rexroad, feeling about it as we sit here on this Monday morning after the draft, both the draft itself and everything that transpired with the Titans from the first round on?
Before I answer that, Colt McCoy and Trace McSorley also there. I forgot about Colt McCoy. Well, look, I think that the draft has a lot of promise, but it's taken as a whole, to me, the first draft by the Tennessee Titans that they've had that was still sort of like, think like you're not right now, you must get this to be as good as possible next season because you're right on the cusp of something. The last time they had a draft like that, in my opinion, was, well, it was the 2019 draft, which, by the way, was an incredible draft and helped set them up for being a go-for-it team in 20 and 21. But that's the last draft that he still, you know, they hadn't made the playoffs the year before. It was Vrabel's first year. You still weren't sure exactly. You thought you found something in Derrick Henry at the end of that year, but you weren't sure, is he going to be a star now? Like, there was a lot of, it was still like, okay, build toward it. Well, okay, in 20, after what happened in 19, and you get to the title game, 20 and 21 were the drafts and the free agent periods were, this is it. This is the window. And this is now, to me, this whole thing says, not, you know, completely punting because they're still a very good team next year, but you use that pick and move up to get Willis. You do what you did with AJ Brown. Again, regardless of whether you believe like they had zero choice, wherever you are on the scale of blaming or understanding the Titans, the bottom line is it happened, right? I mean, You are now relying on a rookie to be receiver one or two next year. That's tough. It's tough to look at that and say you're going to be better on offense. You didn't do as much in the offensive line as I thought. I do like the tight end adds. Overall, like, I think the draft could end up being great. I mean, I like a lot of these choices. But for me, like, as a sports fan growing up, if my team, in any sport you want to pick, was close, I always personally wanted the GM of that team to be pushing the pedal to the metal. Because I don't care if the GM of the team has long-term security. I want the team to be good right now. You know, so that's just how I view things. And I think that any Titans fan who is disappointed right now with how it all turned out, is justified in doing so. But if you want to go the other way, that's fine too. I mean, lots of Titans fans, probably more than I would expect it, are very strongly arguing in favor of the AJ Brown move. So that's great. A variety of opinions.
Teron Davenport just tweeting this out, says, for those interested, AJ Brown's introductory press conference with the Eagles is today at 3:30 Central Time. So that could be interesting. See what AJ has to say at his new press conference with the Eagles.
Yes. Familiarize yourself with this new press corps. And by the way, that something else that pisses me off, and it does always, and I don't even – I'm glad I forget who's – there was somebody tweeted out like, well, he goes from the softest press corps to the toughest, you know. It's just – it's so inaccurate. I mean, just because every question isn't confrontational and given in an East Coast accent does not mean that this is a soft press corps. The questions that need to be asked are asked at Titans press conferences.
Joe, we know you're not soft. Don't you worry.
Well, it's this is not like – I mean, it's not – I mean – across the board, I wasn't in any of them this weekend. The questions were asked. The right questions were asked. So whatever, but it is way more people. It's a much bigger press corps, and when you have that, you do have more, I guess, loose cannons, you know, in a press corps, and so that will be different for AJ.
Well, it's a bigger fan base too. It's a much bigger fan base with Philadelphia.
Yes. And a very boo heavy fan base, a very loud
fan base is what it is. So
very drunk.
I do not discount the fact, like, if you're AJ and you struggled with the maybe paying a little bit too much attention to what people are saying on social media here, you're going to be in for one in Philadelphia.
Yeah. And look, people are expecting him to just, it's unfair for Treylon Burks to be compared to AJ Brown. It's not unfair for A.J. Brown having all this stuff to transpire to be expected to be great right now, right away for Philadelphia. And if he isn't, yes, it will be. I'd advise absolutely to get off social media. I'd advise it right now. I'd advise all people to do that, actually.
just everyone leave social media. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. We'll be interested to see what A.J. Brown says coming up today at 3:30 at his introductory press conference for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's going to do it for us today. We had a lot to get through today. We'll have a lot to get through tomorrow as well as the Preds take on the Colorado Avalanche in game one of the Cup playoffs. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. They'll recap a wild weekend around here in the world of sports. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.